the Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov, yeah, pretty good. Thank you. Heading into the weekend, so that's always good. But, you know, even these days, the weekends, we're not quite sure what to expect. I saw an interesting statistic. You know, Corona's given rise to people being quite statistic-focused. We want to know the numbers, the percentages, this kind of stuff. So here's a new one for you guys. 43% of ultra-Orthodox people in Israel learned online during the coronavirus shutdown. Okay. Why is this such a big deal? Because we know that within the ultra-Orthodox community, there's an anti-kind of internet general approach to life. Their phones have to be cut off from the internet. And if they do have access to the internet, it has to be to very limited sites. And here we go. All of a sudden, people are in shutdown. And there's been a massive increase in the use of the internet by the ultra-Orthodox community learning online. Apparently, 27% of Haredi respondents to a particular survey said that they'd work from home online, while only 22% of the general population said the same. 43% of Haredi respondents said that they'd studied online during the coronavirus shutdown. So, you know, information gets even to the ultra-Orthodox community via the internet, and I think this is great.
Yeah, I actually loved this because it was so clear to me that the Haredi world that had spent so long fighting off the internet, instead of finding a way and saying, you know what, it's good and it's bad, it's like everything in life, let's find a way to live with it, all of a sudden realized during the pandemic that they had no choice but to live with it, and actually ended up embracing it and seeing some of the advantages around it. So it's definitely one of the benefits of the pandemic and of lockdown, especially because that now means that that learning can reach so many more people, and it makes it so much more accessible. So very interesting information indeed. Thank you for that. Israel and the U.S. last night carried out a successful test of the Arrow 2 ballistic missile defense system. What's known about this Arrow 2?
So the Arrow 2, you know, Israel likes to talk about the four-layered approach that they have to missile defense systems, consisting of the Iron Dome, which is the very, very short-range defense system. Then we have David Sling, which intercepts medium-range ballistic missiles and aircraft. We have to add aircraft into David Sling as well. And, of course, we have then the Arrows 2 and the Arrows 3, which are anti-ballistic missile systems. When we talk about ballistic missiles, we talk about missiles that can actually go outside of the Earth's atmosphere while they are traveling towards their destination, and then, of course, re-enter the Earth's atmosphere as they hone in on their target. And then the interesting thing about Arrows 2 and Arrows 3 is that both of those are actually able to intercept these ballistic missiles with outside of the atmosphere. They literally are ballistic missiles themselves. They can go outside of the atmospheric area of the Earth, and they can intercept the incoming missile from there. So that's the fascinating thing. And I think the other fascinating thing is that when Israel carries out missile tests, we always seem to find that they're carrying out anti-missile tests. In other words, these are defensive systems rather than attacking systems. Whenever you hear about missile tests in North Korea or in other parts of the world, we inevitably hear about incoming attacking missiles being tested. And here, it's exactly the opposite. And of course, with massive participation by the U.S. government, many Israeli companies, including the well-known Boeing company that was involved in some of the construction of this. So we understand that the test took place late last night at a site in central Israel. No further details have been released, but we are told that this test was successful. It was led by Israel Aerospace Industries, and we're told that throughout the test, the Arrow 2 system successfully engaged a Sparrow target missile. So the way that it was done was that the Sparrow missile was released as an incoming missile, so to speak, as a fake incoming missile. It simulated a long-range surface-to-surface missile. And then, of course, the Arrow 2 system was deployed in order to intercept and to take out the incoming Sparrow system. It all worked pretty well. Good cooperation between the U.S. and Israel. It, of course, comes alongside the test that was carried out of Arrows 3, which was actually carried out in Alaska last year. So all in all, Israel's anti-missile system seemed to be well developed. A lot of interest, not only from Israeli companies, including Elbit and Elta, there was the Rafael company that was involved as well, but also the U.S. company Boeing and the U.S. Defense Ministry. So I think this is all very fascinating and great news.
Absolutely.
That in spite of everything that's going on around us, we still have time to continue the technological developments, because that's, of course, important. We can't leave that aside. And there was a good positive comment about the technological commando unit, which always ensures that we are one step ahead of our enemies, as announced by the Israeli Ministry of Defense. So quite a fascinating test last night, and I hope it didn't interrupt all those people who were out watching the meteor shower, which came to its very peak last night. A lot of people decided to go out and see the meteors, and I hope that Arrows 2 wasn't mistaken for some of the meteors that were supposed to have been falling last night.
Speaking about defense, Israeli defense establishment has thwarted a concerted cyber attack against Israeli defense companies. What do we know about this this attack?
Well, this is an official statement that was put out yesterday by the Israeli Defense Ministry. And they said that a cyber attack was conducted by an international cyber group called Lazarus. Sounds like a Jewish name,
yeah,
Lazarus. I don't know.
Jewish.
What do you think? But apparently this is an organization that is backed by a foreign country, according to the statement. No more information given than that. But what we understand is that the way that it was done was that members of this Lazarus group used different hacking methods, including so-called social engineering and impersonation, to try to target companies in Israel's high-tech sector. And apparently the social media platform LinkedIn was a very critical place, a very critical part of their attack. They apparently impersonated CEOs and other leading officials in human resources departments within so-called fake companies, trying to lure employees of defense companies and high-tech companies with great job offers and business opportunities, and of course then sending corrupted files hidden as job offers and trying to gather sensitive information, trying to infiltrate those computers. The cyber attacks, we are told, were identified in real time, and they were thwarted by the defense establishment's technological unit. No harm was done to the targeted networks. And that's essentially what we know right now about all of this. I'm sure that we will be drip-fed other interesting bits of information about all of this. But according to the official statement, all's well that ends well after that attempt, apparently using LinkedIn as a place to try and attack computer systems.
Yeah. Let's just talk as well about the opening of the Israeli skies. When is this going to happen?
Well, the date of the 16th of August had been set down already some time ago. And as we get closer to that date, which of course is only next week, it just seems more and more unlikely that we could even consider the possibility of airline travel opening up in any way, shape or form. At the moment, what's been happening is that we have had a limited number of flights coming in and going out of Israel to certain destinations, bearing in mind that everybody who comes into Israel is required to go into quarantine for 2 weeks, and that in many cases when Israelis travel to a foreign country, they're also required to go to quarantine. So any Israeli wanting to have a vacation will have to have 2 weeks at the other side to recover from the plane trip while they're in quarantine, and then another 2 weeks to recover from the plane trip when they come home in quarantine, because that's the way that the rules work. Then having said that, there was this announcement yesterday that there will be an announcement today. In other words, they said that it will be announced today by the Health, Transportation and Foreign and Tourism Ministries. They're expected to make this joint statement about countries that Israelis will be able to travel to and from without entering quarantine. And some of the countries that have been mentioned in the list are Austria, Cyprus, Denmark, Finland, Georgia, Germany, Hungary, Jordan, Latvia, Lithuania, and apparently some of the Greek islands. Now, given the state of corona in Israel at the moment, I just don't know that this is the best idea I've ever heard of at this particular state. I mean, we still have a massive peak in terms of the number of new infections. We're having a peak in terms of the number of people who are dying each day. Now more than 640 people have passed away as a result of corona. The second wave, certainly worse than the first wave, which was a total lockdown situation. We've discussed the fact that, you know, it's not sensible to close the economy down completely. But the question is it sensible to open it up in this way to air travel and the risks that are associated with people being in that enclosed space for extended period of time? I don't know. That's, you know, I feel a little concerned about it. I guess that we're all entitled to vote with our feet. In other words, even if locations may be opened up, we're not necessarily obliged to go there.
Right.
And I certainly won't be one of those people.
Although what is dangerous, where it does impact, is if people come into Israel that might have might be carrying
correct.
Be ill.
So and then you know the question is how do we trace that and how do we police that?
Yeah.
At the moment, unfortunately, I think we've just got too many cases. Too many new infections, too many people ill, hospitals under massive stress with the number of people that they're having to deal with. I'm not sure that this is the most sensible approach, but, you know, I'm just a commentator on the side having my own say. And I guess we'll see what happens later today when all of those ministries
Absolutely.
Make their joint announcement.
Absolutely. Minister of Defense Benny Gantz has undergone back surgery.
Yeah, I mean, apparently this is an injury that he's been carrying from his days as a paratrooper all the way back then. And he was admitted to Tel HaShomer Hospital yesterday for an operation, a procedure that apparently took several hours. And we are told it was successful. And he's already been tweeting that he's all right and he's hoping to get back to work and back to business as soon as possible. He will apparently be literally on his back, I suppose, or maybe not on his back, for about a week, while he recovers from the surgery, which was, to fix the back vertebrae and apparently also to release nerve roots, which follow, many years of injury, according to the director of the back surgery unit at Sheba Hospital at Tel HaShomer, who was the person who carried out this operation. So we wish Defense Minister Benny Gantz a recovery, a good recovery, a quick recovery to full health, and we hope that he will be back to his post sooner rather than later. Of course, in the meantime, while he is away, a temporary replacement has been appointed to the Defense Ministry in the form of Mikhail Biton, who is also a member of the Kahol Levan Party. He is sitting in the chair of the Defense Minister until such time as Benny Gantz returns. But we are told that he's been equipped with everything necessary in the hospital to allow him continue to work. We've already discussed that it is possible to be indoors and not going out and work at the same time, although we know that Benny Gantz is the kind of guy who likes to get around and go and see people and visit places and see and be seen. For him, it's important to get out there and you know, not be sat at his desk all day. But we wish him a good recovery from his operation.
Absolutely right. It is 8 o'clock, Anthony Reich. This is where we love and leave you. Hope you have a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and we, of course, will catch you on Monday morning at 7:45. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 High FM. Good morning.